Hello, it's Wayne Perry, the TV carpenter here. Can I ask you a question? Are you a DIY doer? Meaning, do you like DIY? Do you like fixing things in your home? Or does it frighten you and you'd rather somebody else did it, like your other half, or you paid somebody to come and do it? The reason I'm asking the question is, it's either one or the other. People don't realise anyone can be a DIY doer. And for me, when I say that, I don't mean the big jobs. I don't mean putting up shelves. I don't mean laying laminate flooring. For me, DIY is about having a safe house for you and your family. So when I say safe, knowing how the smoke alarm works and why does it beep, or knowing how to turn your water off if your house is flooding, or if the fuse trips and your electrics go out, knowing what all the buttons on the fuse board do. So that's a safe home. I think everyone should have that. Everyone should have a practical home, meaning everything should work as it should. So if your curtain tracks falls out the wall, you know how to put it on. Or if your toilet seat breaks, you know how to change it. But also, I think everyone should have a beautiful home, knowing what paint types to use, knowing how to upcycle some furniture. If you would like a safe, practical and beautiful home, let me teach you the DIY around it. All you need to do is join the DIY Doers Facebook group. You can find it on Facebook, or you can go to my website, thetvcarpenter.com, and I'll link you straight through to there. Let me help you create a safe, beautiful, and practical home for you and your family. On today's show, I chat with John Scott. He was a contestant on Interior Design Masters, and his maximalist hotel room really got the nation talking.
And so when I found two wallpapers, I was like, that's it. That is it. And I'm a lover of the Pet Shop Boys and their music and drag. So it all just literally vomited into a bowl, and I just was like, I'm buying that bowl. And that's what I did. And I think I jumped in that bowl with it and just created all of this madness.
Hello and welcome to the TV Carpenter podcast with me, your host, Wayne Perry. This is a podcast where I interview my friends from the world of interior design and garden makeover shows, all with the aim of inspiring you to create your dream home. This week has been a real interesting eye-opener of a week for me. So if you caught the new brand new ITV show Spring Into Summer that was on Monday evening at 8 p.m, you'll have seen me building and cutting away and creating an outdoor seated arbor on this new show. And what was really interesting, when we knew we were doing this show, which is kind of a spin-off from Love Your Weekend with Alan, which we do, it's like a two-hour show, they were like, okay, we've got a half hour slot, prime time. We love the weekend show. It's going to move to prime time. And if I'm going to be totally honest, in my head, I was like, it's Monday evening. Yeah. Will anybody watch it? Cut to, we're sandwiched right between Coronation Street. So at 7:30 till 8, you get Coronation Street. Then you get our show, Spring Into Summer. And then afterwards, it's Coronation Street again. And the viewing figures went insane. The response of it was amazing. But what was really interesting is it was decided that we would create a bit of a, you know, shopping list or a how-to, you know, to accompany the build that I make on this with on the show, this arbor. So at the end of my segment, Alan would go, okay, if you want some more information, go to the Facebook group. And we thought, you know, of 70 people will download, you know, the information sheet from my segment. So I produced a document that had the shopping list in there and some top tips. And it was linked through onto the Spring and Summer Facebook group. And then over 2,000 people, I think we're like 2,200 at the moment, have downloaded this document that I created. And it just, you know, and the response from the show was, oh my God, I love this. I want to make more of this. I'm looking forward to the coming weeks. So yeah, it's got me all excited. And to add to that, I'm filming again this Monday, the next part. We're filming blocks of three. So I've got some more exciting stuff coming up. So for my, presenting debut, it was pretty special. So if you didn't catch it, you can go on my social medias. I recorded it, and I think you can catch it on my Instagram. you can catch the building of this big seated arbor that went down a storm. And you can download, if you go on the Facebook as well, you can download the fact sheet if you want. A huge thank you, as always, to Thorndown. And I'm saying their name with a smile because Thorndown make an appearance on the show. I painted the arbor in the Thorndown Cavepool grey. And you'll see that week after next. And it looks absolutely beautiful, by the way. But don't forget, Thorndown are my sponsors for this podcast. And they did another paint drop. Well, actually, it was the Peel Reveal. And the response to that was really lovely. It was just amazing to see people's reaction of how you can paint on glass. You know, you can shade a conservatory or you can shade greenhouses to protect your plants. And then when you're bored with it, you literally peel the corner like a face peel and you peel the whole thing off. And we did a peel reveal with the paint, and you had to guess the name of the colour. And Michelle Murphy and Stuart Stephen Torrance correctly guessed that it was squirrel blue. So they're going to receive a free tin of that paint so they can block out colour in their greenhouse or conservatory if they like. If you want a chance to win some peelable paint, don't forget to go to the paint drop, which happens every Saturday morning on our social media. But if you'd like to take advantage of the 15% discount we get from Thorndown, go to thorndown.co.uk, have a look through their paint range, and you can even have one color matched if you like, if you've got a specific color you want in mind. And you can get 15% off any online purchases by putting in the code the TV Carpenter. This week my guest is someone who everyone seemed to be talking about on the show. From his first week where he did show homes, the response to him and his design was brilliant. And I think everyone just had a little soft spot for him. He was so well received on the show. And it's such a shame that he went out on episode 3. And episode 3 was the hotel. And he had the maximalist brief. But boy, did he go for it. He really went for it, full out and fabulous. And it was, in his words, it was Marmite. You either loved it or hated it. But he said he went out with his head held high because he was so proud of what he's achieved. And just having a big career change and just going for it, you know, from being a fan of the show to going, I think I can do that. And he went for it. So the main event is the lovely John Scott. So, John, thank you for coming on the TV Carpenter podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
So how are you? Obviously, we're recording this, you know, before it's gone out. So there's a bit of a trepidation. How are you excited about the show coming out?
I'm super excited. It's a really weird feeling because it goes from being super excited to then getting a little lump of sick in your throat thinking, oh, my God, everyone's going to see me. They're going to see what a crier I am. And then it's back to, oh, how exciting. I don't know how it's going to happen. So it's, yeah, and it changes day by day. So it's the anticipation, I think, is worse than the reality of what it's going to be. And I have no idea. And, of course, it's all happened, and yet it's now going to happen again. So it's like this great big wave is coming again after it's, you know, died down for a little bit. It's genuinely super exciting. It really is.
Oh, you were a joy to be on the show. I enjoyed. We never actually got to really work together. So we saw each other at lunchtime, and then when we pop round and have a snoop in your places and stuff. But you were a joy to be around. We had many a talks about your tattoos.
Yeah.
Have you got any more, by the way?
Not since. No, not since. I've focused all on interiors rather than body art.
I love that. What? Because you've got quite a varied background. So you came to interior design quite late. So give my listener a snapshot of what you did before this.
Oh, gosh. So for 24 years, I've worked in learning and development. So that is my entire career. I've done it. I've been a stand-up deliverer of training. I've been the photocopy boy. For those of you that are older, you'll remember photocopiers. I've been the OHP boy. For those of you that are old enough, you'll know what that is. And I've worked through a number of different roles, and I'm now the director of learning and quality for a company. So that's what I do. I love to see people progress. I love to see them find themselves, you know, whether it's leadership skills, whether it's coaching, all of that kind of stuff. And it was just, there was some, I was delivering a leadership program for the company I worked for whilst we were filming, or before we were filming. And I was talking to people about finding your purpose in life and what's your purpose and what's the legacy that you want to leave behind. And having been party to writing this and then delivering it in Australia, there was just this moment of, I don't know what my legacy is. And I believe you can do anything if you put your mind to it. And that's how it started of, do you know what, I'm going to apply for that. I obsess about the program. So series one, watched it repeatedly, watched it again, picked it apart, thought, do you know what, I think I could do that. Arrogant. arrogant or confident, I'm not quite sure.
And I'd go with confident.
Yeah, okay, it's confident. I can do that. I can be Cassie. I can be Frank. I can be Nikki. And I applied and didn't think anything would happen. And it just snowballed from there. And then I found myself driving to the studio on the first day thinking, I have no idea what I've let myself in for. And having done something for 24 years, a bit like you with your carpentry, you know, if there's a problem that comes up, you know what tool to use, you know how you're going to get around it. Put me in a learning and development environment, I can find my way out of it and looking like the swan, you know, underneath it's paddling. This, you you throw me in and I'm like the squealing piglet in the farm trying to be caught. You're getting everything. Yeah, I've just described myself as a squealing piglet, haven't I?
But you know what? I never saw you as a squealing piglet, maybe because I didn't work close to you.
That's why they wouldn't mess together. That's what it was. They let it happen.
But that was, so it's interesting because obviously I'm interviewing all the contestants, and this will go out after the show has been aired. So but at the moment, I've got you in that moment where you're all a little bit nervous. But that first day then, it's interesting because I spoke to Siobhan and she said the same. She said that first day she's looking around going, they're architects and they're all these things. And I'm so like imposter syndrome. So did you feel the same?
It was. Oh, yes. Is all I can say to that. It's the strangest feeling because you watch the show and it gives you real confidence and you follow designers. So I follow Sophie Robinson and Kelly Hartman and Jonathan Adler. They're my three favorites. And you follow them and you're like, if only I could have a little bit of what they've got. You then put yourself in a room and we all had to introduce ourselves and say what it was that we do. And of course I said what I did. I think people were looking at it like, I don't even understand the words you've just said. I'm like, oh gosh, okay. And then, oh yeah, I'm an architect. I work in an interior design business. I've got a following on Instagram for interiors. I'm an interior designer. I'm a set builder. Stood there, I'm like, oh my goodness. Say goodbye to it because you're not going to last much after this one. It was just, yeah, so nerve-wracking. And then when you look at everyone's individual styles as well, I mean, literally radiated towards Siobhan. She's me in the female form. I love it. I love that she celebrates. I'm all about body positivity. I love that she celebrates all of it. And she's a phenomenal person to be around. But then just meeting everybody, meeting Amy and Pete and Lindsay and God, it's just, yeah, it's really awe-inspiring when you're there. And then you start to kind of drink it in and you kind of, I'm a bit like a sponge. So I learn very quickly. And that's how it started. It was that. But yes, the imposter syndrome was. I'd have quite happily worn a badge, or perhaps that would have been the next tattoo. yeah, that could have been
imposter syndrome or squealing pig.
I think probably the picture of the squealing pig with the imposter syndrome just kind of floating around it.
So I was trying to remember your rooms because obviously I didn't work in your rooms, but I remember the show homes. Did you have like Morse code in your pictures or something?
I did, yes. So obviously as part of the brief, we needed to create, it was bespoke art. That was one of the elements of the brief. And so the bespoke art, I'm originally from the Midlands, although I've lived down south for over 20 years now, so I can class myself as a southerner. Being around Oxford, I have a love of murder mysteries. So big Agatha Christie fan, Poirot, Marple, and Morse. So I was like, oh, Morse is from Oxford. That's clever. And then it must have been something in my subconscious. My dad was in the Navy, and he was the communications manager, or whatever the title was, the communications person on submarines. And that's what he did. And I was like, do you know what? My mum and dad have been so supportive throughout my entire life. How lovely in my first ever TV appearance to have something that not everybody will know about, but I will know about. And so all of the artwork was Morse code. So Morse of my love of murder mysteries, and for my dad. And also, I'm very big on equality, and you know, gender is irrelevant, color is irrelevant. I don't see any of them; I just see people. And so, each one of those pieces of artwork was a gender-neutral word of a people being together. So it doesn't matter whether you're man and woman, whatever it is. And so that's what I wanted to do, because when I saw the show home, it was an opportunity to be a little bit different and not think so show home. I wanted to be a bit more out there. And whilst it's only a small nod towards it, I think it's important that we embrace everybody. And so my artwork was we, us. So it was all the gender neutrals rather than, you know, the man and the woman come together with the heart, which, yeah, is not really me. As nice as it might look, it's not me. So, yeah, so I loved doing it, and I've never created artwork before in my life. So I think my art teacher would be pretty impressed that I'd actually done it and hung it on the wall, and it looked all right. I was quite pleased.
I remember walking around with Ed, the design producer, going, oh, I like that. What is that? Yeah. And explained what it is. Interesting, you like detective stuff. Like, did you ever watch D.L. and Pasco?
Yes.
How was the regular in it for 2.5 years?
Oh,
Latif. There was D.L. Pasco and myself, Latif. I did the last 3 years. They killed me off in a... I died in a caving accident at the end of the final season.
As you do.
I mean,
good actors haven't they? They've gone into the cave and never come out. You know what I'm going to do now, don't you?
Oh, you can get an alibi. Go on, I earned a couple of pence if you watch that. I did it for 2.5 years. I did like 9 seasons with Warner Collins. Anyway, I digress. Were you ever on the sofa apart from the hotel?
Yes.
What other hotel? What other sofa were you on?
Oh, I was on the sofa for The Office.
Oh, okay. How was that?
How was it? It. I want to say the word traumatic, but not to over... I know, that's terrible, isn't it? It was traumatic in that it's the most beautiful, luxurious room that you're going into. There's a Jonathan Adler vase on the table that literally all of us were like, I'm having that. I'm literally having that. You sat on these beautiful velvet sofas, and there's all this gorgeous stuff that literally you walk in there and you can't help but touch it, and then you dawn on it and you're like, I'm in here for a reason. I'm in here because I haven't done very well. So you've got, you know, you need all of that energy to get you into the frame of mind of, I can do this. I don't do this as my job. I can do it. I can do it. And then somebody comes along and says, you didn't quite do it though, did you? And that feeling is, it's a feeling I don't ever want again. Although if I was asked, I would go through it all again, bizarrely. There's just something about the feeling of I've disappointed somebody. I've disappointed people that I admire and that do what I'm wanting to do. And that's the worst part of it. Mm-hmm. It really is. On the flip side, you get to hear face-to-face, one-on-one, what the judges think about what you've done. That then can't, it doesn't give you the kick up the bum, because you don't need that, because all of us have got that 24/7. It was, you just get to hear something that you might not have thought of. And interestingly, when I had the feedback from the first time I was on the sofa, I agreed with what they said, not because I wanted to stay on the competition, but because having taken a step back and reflected on it, which is what I would do in my normal day job, I was like, yeah, you're right. Why did I make that so small? Why didn't I do a table for 10? Why did I only do it for 6? Why would I have done that when I looked at the space? Which then helped me for the next week, because then I was more spatially aware. And then what I've done since then is taught myself computer software to help me with my spatial awareness. Because until, obviously in COVID times, you can't go into people's homes, but it's very different. I mean, gosh, you would know with what you do. It's very different, isn't it? You know, somebody wants a bookcase to fill a wall. You walk in, you're like, that's quite a hefty bookcase. You're going to be having to fill that entire 16-foot wall. So it's that kind of it helped immensely. And Michelle is very lovely and very gracious. And the other judges at that who I got to sit on the sofa in front of, it wasn't like a telling off. It was more of a mentor session of, you know, you did really well, and you could do better. You could try something out. You could do this. So I took it as a positive. The whole experience for me was nothing but positive, if I'm being honest.
Oh, amazing. And it's interesting because speaking to Lindsay, who obviously won the show, she didn't go on the sofa until near the end. So for her, she was petrified, like, because she hadn't had any feedback about anything. So actually the not knowing, she was like, oh my God, they must like, do they like me at all? Like, I'm getting through, but no one's telling me anything. So it was almost just worse for her not being on the sofa, you know?
Yeah. I mean, over the whole competition, that must have really played on her mind. I mean, I was so lucky in the first episode that we got to work together in the show home. She was so, so lovely. And the support that we had for one another was really natural. It wasn't forced. It didn't feel like it was going over and above. It was just a genuine, oh my goodness, you're so talented. I'm literally gushing over the wall that you've just created. How did you do it? And she would come in, she'd be like, your use of colour, that's really clever. I'd never have thought to take the paint up there. I'm like, really? Because I've just seen what you've done in there. You literally would be doing it. And she's like, no, I wouldn't. I'm like, oh. And I got to work with her again in the second episode. It was so lovely. And we do talk quite a bit. Now it's all done and dusted. And I couldn't have been prouder that she won. I mean, all of us designers are talented in our own ways. There was just something about Lindsay for me that was so understated about the ability that she had, that was, for me, was a real draw, and perhaps it's from my learning and development background, but there was just something about it of, you have no idea what it is that you've got here. And who doesn't want to see a woman with a drill in her hand or a sander in her hand create what she created? I love it. Blowing all of those gender stereotypes out of the water. She's blonde haired, she's blue eyed, she's an architect, and she can drill, and she, all of that stuff. I'm just like, I'm behind you 110%. So I couldn't have been happier.
She's amazing. And interestingly, when I messaged her, like I messaged you to say, can we do the podcast? She went, are you sure you want me on your podcast? And I was like, babes, do you know you bloody won the show, the biggest interior design show on BBC? She went, oh, I forgot. She's kind of like, she hasn't sunk in, and she's adorable. Right, we've got to talk about the week you went home, right? Oh. Now, we talked at lunchtime about this. I don't know if you remember the conversation. So it was a 2-3 day build. And the first 2 days I was going, what the hell is he doing? Right. And I was honest about this. And I even said this to you at lunchtime. And then literally when everything was in and the judges were about to come in, I walked in the room and went, this is amazing. Right. And I was just like, I don't know how he's done it. I don't know what he's done. But this now works, you know, like when you're seeing raw wallpaper and different colored paints and stuff, and I'm colorblind, it was like a mishmash of God knows what, right? But once everything was in and the pom-poms were in and the bedding was in and everything was done, I went, this is maximalist. This is it. And then I was shocked that you went home on that, if I'm being honest. So tell me, what was your reaction and your experience of the hotel?
I was gutted that I went home. Absolutely gutted. I was having such a ball doing all of it and was just 220% in it, on and off, the entire time, all the preparation and everything. And I think because I'd started in episode one, not being able to do anything like making wise, when it came to episode two, I wanted to show that I could make furniture because I saw what everyone was doing in episode one and honestly thought I was going home because I was like, all you've done is you bought stuff. You just need to go. There's no creativity there. Episode two, I then made all of the furniture that was in the office and upholstered. Never done it. So episode three, what else can I do? So literally when I got the brief and saw the room and, you know, it was a bridal suite. So what is it I need to do? Well, I need to make it a little bit more grand is what I need to do. It was a stunning room, beautiful ceiling, beautiful outlook, you know, to dual views out of the windows. What do I need to do? Naturally, I need to build a dressing room. I need to build a suspended dressing room that the bed can sit in front of. And I know, why don't I just make that wall the headboard? Why would you not? Why would you not? And it kind of snowballed from there. And once I'd got the confidence that the show and the other designers had given me up to that point, it was like, do you know what? I'm going to go with my gut instinct of what I think maximalism is. I had to Google it before we did it. I had no idea what it was. Looking throughout my house, I think I probably did know what it was. And actually, I'm more maximalist than minimalist, but just had never put a title on it. And was in awe of Siobhan and her home and thought, you know what? What I don't want to do is a cheap replica of what Siobhan has at her home because it's stunning and she does it immaculately. What I want to do is I want to do what I like. And I started doing my research and I was honestly inspired by Jonathan Adler's American Home and how he puts all of these, what some people might see as crazy, but, you know, these American patterns and colors and really bright, vibrant Miami glamour and Sophie Robinson and her epicness. And I just started to create it. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is what it can be. This is what it can be. And I think part of me was worried that I wouldn't get all the materials in time because of the world as it was at that point. And so when I found two wallpapers, I was like, that's it. That is it. And I'm a lover of the Pet Shop Boys and their music and drag. So it all just literally vomited into a bowl. And I just was like, I'm buying that bowl. And that's what I did. And I think I jumped in that bowl with it and just created all of this madness. And loved every single minute of it. And you weren't alone in thinking that, oh my God, what is he doing? Because Pete, I have big respect for Pete and love his style. He just came to me, you know, I think it was off camera. I can't remember if it was actually filmed or not. And it was like, what do you think? And he's like, I just think you're really brave. I think you're really brave. I'm like, okay, I know what that means. I've given feedback to people before when it's like, yes. So I knew what he meant. Then when it was finished, he did something similar to what you did. And he walked in, he went, actually, the more you kept adding, the more beautiful it ended up looking. And then when I walked in, it was completely, I was absorbed in this room. This is what it was. And Siobhan, if you're going to get a stamp of approval, it would be Sophie Robinson for me and Siobhan at this point. And she was just like, I'd stay in this room. Out of all the rooms that we've done, this is the room I'd stay in. So you get to the point when you know it's probably going to be a bit Marmite and you hope that the Marmite is going to be loved. And I was crushed that the Marmite was not loved. And I mean, if I look at Kit's style and obviously what she does, it's so clever. It's so clever. She's had years to do it. And I'm sure she has a considerable amount of time to perfect that room that looks like it's just been, yeah, we'll have those three. I wasn't able to do that amount of time to do that. If I had, there are things I would change in hindsight, but I'm so impressed with myself and pleased with myself with what I managed to achieve, having the first episode, having played it kind of safe, thinking you're doing it, to what I achieved. And that's why there were no tears when I left, because I was just really pleased and so proud to have had the whole experience and what I learned up to that point. It was immense. And whilst I didn't win the prize, it was for me and is life-changing. It really is.
Amazing. And I remember sending you a picture of you gluing pom-poms on a lampshade. So if there's ever proof of you being DIY and handy, there we are.
And Dickie came up to me and was like, what do you want me to do? I was like, get a staple gun. Those pom-poms need to go on that pound bit there, and I haven't got the time. They were like, have you got Dickie doing pom-poms? I'm like, yes, I have. Dickie is doing my pom-poms. Leave him.
So if anyone doesn't know, Dickie is one of the other builders with us who I've worked with for like 8 years, and he's the grumpiest soul in the world. You love him and hate him in equal measures.
Yes. He was my key pom-pom putter-upper.
I'm going to ring him and tell him that. So here, this is your new job description, Dickie.
Yeah.
But it was like, again, like we said, it was a shock to see you go. But like, what's been really lovely is just hearing you then saying it's been life-changing, even though it was three episodes. It was still three amazing episodes, and your journey in those three episodes was immense. So what now? Obviously, the show hasn't gone out yet. We don't. And I've asked this of all the other contestants. What's your best response? What are you wanting people to think of you when they watch the show?
It hasn't changed for me, actually. It's the same as when I went in. I want to show people that you do have it within you to be able to do it yourself. So I didn't think I could achieve any of that stuff. I've done my own home. I've had, you know, people come in and do it. I've chosen everything that's in there. And people have always said, oh, it's so lovely. And you think that they're being kind because they're your friends. Why wouldn't they be? So to go on a competition with nine other potential designers and have other people in awe at your stuff is so affirming that I can do it. So I wanted to do two things. Show a group of people that might be thinking they can't do it, that you can. I did it and I couldn't. And also that I'm a person that's following my dreams. So after 24 years of the same career, I am now starting to phase into another career. I'm continuing with learning and development because that is my true passion. But I've now set up my interior design business. And I want to see where that takes me. And so I hope that on the show, people see the ability I've got, the different styles. It's not all just about the hotel room, although I'm sure some may think it is. I can do both ends of the spectrum. So I can do muted and I can do all of that. But it's about allowing people to express themselves and to make them happy in their space. And it's about being you. And I'm me. I can't change that. And the show helped me to confirm that being me is good and being me is okay. And so through interiors, that's what I want to do. I want to bring that to people. And I think interiors should be for everybody. So, you know, Daniel Hopwood is amazing and is, you know, very high end. I don't necessarily see myself as high end, although I can do that. I'd like to say that I'm for everybody. And that's what I'd love to do. And I'd love to be inundated with interiors projects of all different shapes and sizes to help spread that. That's what I'd like.
We're coming to the end now. So my final question to you is, if you could, money's no objects, anywhere in the world, I want you to describe to me your dream room and what you're drinking whilst you're in this room.
Oh, gosh. Well, it won't be water, let's put it that way. My dream room. People might be very surprised about it. My dream room would be, it would have high ceilings and large windows. So I'm actually picturing at the moment a box with large floor-to-ceiling windows that is cantilevered over water. That might be a pool, it might be an outdoor koi carp pool or something. And inside there is a big fire. The fire is on the wall. There's a big hearth that you can sit on, like a slate stone hearth. There's a nice big wall. It's textured. And it's a big, bold print of some description. And the sofas are low, comfy sofas that could be a bed or it could be a sofa, but there's lots of sumptuousness. I don't know if that's the right word.
I get sumptuousness.
It's sumptuousness. And you've got, there's room for all friends to come round and have a drink and have some pizza, favourite food, or a Chinese favourite cooking food. And they're just having a really good time. There's a lot, there's lighting, there's different mood lighting, there's some low level, there's some high level, it's a big statement. But it's about a place for everyone to get together. So that's what it would be. It wouldn't necessarily be muted. It would be people would walk in and either marmite it probably. And I would be drinking. What would I be drinking? I'm going to say I would be drinking a Bloody Mary with no ice, because the ice waters down the tomato juice. I can't bear it. Bloody Mary, no ice.
That's the first Bloody Mary we've had on the show, and it's my favourite.
Is it? See, yeah. That's what put us together.
Do you know what? That was it. That's the reason. And it's one of those things that I do this little test whenever I'm on a plane. I always order it. And once I order it, the 10 people behind me order it. Because you only ever get it on a plane, because you never buy the tomato juice yourself.
Well, I do. Big Tom's. Ooh. You don't even need your own celery salt or anything. Literally, vodka, Tom's, and a celery stick. I'm done. Oh, and a dash of horseradish. I do like horseradish.
Oh, I'm a bit spicy. I like mine a bit hot.
Like it spicy, yeah. But the ice just waters it down.
I do one cube of ice. I can't have it room temperature.
Top tip, stick the glass in the freezer 10 minutes before you're doing it. It's all the cold you need.
See, listener, you're learning something new every day. Oh, if people want to contact you, but what's the best social medias for people to find you?
Oh, well, they could drop on my website. So my company is Jonathan Scott Interiors. So it's jonathanscottinteriors.co.uk, or I'm on Instagram under the same name, doing all my mood boards and stuff. So yeah, drop on in and say hi and let's see what we can do. Very exciting.
John, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm just sorry that I didn't get to build for you, but I'm glad I got to talk to you on the TV company.
One day you will be my builder.
Realize again why I do this podcast, because I love people's journeys. I've always loved those stories of how people's life evolves and merges and you go from one thing to the next. And I love that, you know, that epiphany moment that he said while he was training, saying, "What's your purpose?" And just following something that you absolutely love. And he loved the show and thought, "I want to have a go at that." And he did. And he, you know, he got on the show, which is, you know, hard in itself. And then, you know, I got 3 episodes in, but his growth within the show is amazing. And now he's, you know, he's diversifying and giving interior designers a go. And he's got his own practice and he's got clients and he's doing brilliantly. So for me, you know, just being able to celebrate that on this podcast is what it's all about. So it's great that you're listening to his journey, and hopefully if you're in the same position as he is, you know, if you're wanting to try something new, have a go. And I just want to talk as well. There was something really interesting that I discovered recently. You know, we all get told, you know, you've got to follow your passion. But I realized through myself, through, you know, having 2 careers, from being a performer and an actor to what I do now as a TV carpenter, is I didn't have a passion for cutting wood. I, you know, if I'm being honest, I probably didn't have a passion for performing. It was just as I grew up, my mum said, "You've got a nice voice," or, you know, you get a bit of recognition and then your friends are doing it and then you keep following, and within that social group you become more respected for what you do and it became a passion. Same for carpentry. I never dreamed I would give up performing to be a carpenter, but the more I did, the more I enjoyed it, the more I worked on shows and loved it, and realised that actually I loved it more than anything, gave up being an actor to be a full-time carpenter and TV carpenter, and now it's become my passion. So all that I would say is, and I've gone off on one on here, it's very different to what I normally say, but I think if you're thinking of doing something or you're thinking of a change, you don't necessarily have to be the best person at it. You don't necessarily have to have that passion as we talk, but you just need to have a bit of an, you know, an affinity with it, or you enjoy doing it. And the more you do it, the more it becomes a passion. And then you're in that sweet spot where you absolutely love what you're doing, and you're doing something you enjoy, not just to pay the bills, but you're doing it because you enjoy it as well. So a little bit of a career talk there. But that came from as well because I was asked to interview for another podcast talking about careers and career changes. And I've come off the back of listening to that because it went out the other day, and I thought, actually, that's such a really good point, especially in the creative industries. So yes, I hope his talk and my little blurb at the end has inspired you to go out there and just try something new, see where it takes you. But as we wrap up, as always, trying something new, I'll try and link it in there, is don't forget, try the Thorn Down paint. There's this peelable paint. If you have a greenhouse or a conservatory and you want to create a bit of shading in there, you could try their peelable glass paint. And don't forget to look out on the Peel to Reveal competition on Saturday, and you could be in with a chance of winning a free tin of paint. Or you can go to Thorn Down and get that 15% discount off any online purchases by putting in the code TV Carpenter. But until next week, all I have to do is say thank you for listening to me, Wayne Perry, on the TV Carpenter podcast.